good evening and welcome to the call. We're straight up at 7 p.m. and ready to begin. I'm going to press one more button and I'll be right back. Oh, we're so excited to have all of you on the call, especially our guests who are here for the first time. Welcome to the Tuesday night celebration of life. We meet every Tuesday night to discuss principles that can impact our life. We know that there are 36 characteristics that we will want to master so that we can intentionally create things in our lives. We know that those 36 characteristics are divided into six qualities of an intentional creator. Each week we spend time on one of those qualities to assist you in driving these principles deeper into your life. It is of benefit to you to go on the website intentionalcreation.com and take your intentional creation assessment. It's free. Make sure that you have that in hand when you come to these meetings, because that will allow us to go deep into these principles and serve you better. So please take your intentional creation assessment. I'll be talking a little bit about that this evening as we go deeper into the program. Thank you for joining us. A couple of housekeeping items, very exciting. Number one, immediately following this meeting tonight, we are having a special meeting for those who are interested in becoming Og Mandino affiliates. An affiliate is someone who just loves these principles. They are impacting their lives. They want to share them with their friends, and they would like to make a business out of that process. This is not network marketing. It's not direct selling. There's no competition to anybody who might be involved in one of those organizations. This is a way for you to bless the people in your organization and to be compensated for doing so. If you would like to join us in that affiliate call, it's the same phone number you called for this coaching session, 218-936-7999. And the PIN for that call at 8 o'clock is 366-398. That's 366-398, and then press pound. We'd love to have you participate. We're going to walk through the affiliate program and how it works and how you could become involved in sharing these principles with other people and receiving compensation, handsome compensation, for doing so. We're very excited about this program and taking Og's message out to the world, to the masses, and changing lives, both individually and into businesses, to assist them. The second item, next Tuesday night's call, for those of you who attend this via telephone, especially those outside the Salt Lake area, nothing is going to change except for next week we're going to do a two-hour version. Plan on being with us from 7 to 9 o'clock. We are going to do this live from the Larry H. Miller Center. It's going to be so fun. We'll have a room full of individuals, those of the Salt Lake area that are coaching clients that are already part of the Tuesday night call. We will be sending you a VIP ticket to attend. If you're a guest, it's very easy to do this. You just go on to www.ogmandino.eventbrite, event like E-V-E-N-T, bright, B-R-I-T-E, .com, and register. It's $10 a ticket. Between now and Saturday night, that's an early bird special. I think it goes up to $12.50 after that. You'll want to go and get your ticket. This is going to be 2 hours of digging deep and taking on your life. Now, we talked about this as a team and said there are a lot of people who are interested in Og Mandino's materials and even the affiliate program, and they'd like to participate in this event next Tuesday night, and they're from out of town. So we have created a separate place where you can register to be on this call. So you can participate live as a listener. Go to Og Mandino Call, ogmandinocall.eventbrite.com, and you can register. I think it's $5 for a listener to participate who's not already registered and coaching with us and part of this call. So for $5, you can be with us next night, next Tuesday night at this live session. So we will be able to have you attend either live as a listener or live in the audience. If you're a coaching client already and on this call on Tuesday night, we will send you a VIP ticket to attend if you'd like. And if you're on this call as a coaching client, you'll receive next week's phone number and PIN number this week via email, and you'll be able to get on the call for free as part of your coaching. So we're very excited. Next week's Celebration of Life is going to be live. I just love talking to a live audience and sharing these principles. And again, we're going to dig deep next week in a couple of very specific areas that I've been feeling strongly about as it relates to these qualities. Well, again, welcome to all of you who are here with us tonight. Pull out a paper, pull out a pen, get ready to take some notes, because we're going to dive into one of the most important qualities. It's called finding joy in the journey. This is a difficult place for far too many. In today's world, there are far too many who are having challenges that are just pushing them to the edge. Now, I'm just logging into a website that I just lost, so bear with me just for a moment. And there we go. Very good. We want to be able to pull out your assessments. For those of you who have taken an assessment, if you have it handy, it's not necessary. You can write this down on your paper and go back and refer to it later. I want to talk to you about the thought processes directly impacting finding joy in the journey. Tell you a little bit about them so that you can go check the color of the measurement on your assessment. And then we'll explore how these thought processes can impact and impede your joy in the journey. I got an email this last week that was just absolutely delightful. One of our coaching clients shared with me that he's been using that phrase, life, you know, not life, but that sucks, but I'm okay. And he said last Friday his boss didn't meet payroll. And so he's changed it, different mantra. Now he says, that really, and he had it in capital letters, really sucks, but I'm okay. This is the quality that deals with sometimes that does suck. Sometimes things just suck our energy and our desire and our enthusiasm for life. They just drain us. And we want to avoid getting sucked into those items, into those situations, and step back from them, take a look at them, and be okay. And sometimes we're not okay. I'm not okay. And so we will look at some of the characteristics tonight that we'll want to embrace that can assist us in becoming okay. The truth of the matter is this. We live in a time where the economic situation is about as trying as I've ever seen in my entire lifetime. I'm 57. I'm still young, I would like to think. But we've been through recessions and a few upturns. This is different. This has got a different feeling. I'm the most optimistic guy you'll meet, but I'm also pragmatic. And what I'm feeling is not very pleasant. What I do know is this. Whatever happens, if we get sucked into it, it's going to be worse than it needs to be. If we can learn to step back and be okay and be in creation, whatever happens, it'll be the best it can be. And if it doesn't turn out to be so bad, it'll be really good. We'll create marvelous and magnificent things in our lives. This is a principle we practice diligently in our own office. I know Ramona and I practice it in our life. Not everything works out the way you'd like it to. Matter of fact, today, it seems like more things are turning out different or uncomfortable. as we're having more children and grandchildren and dealing with their life experiences, there are some things that just ache. They make you ache. You wish they weren't happening, that people weren't having those experiences or we weren't having them. But it just is what it is. And the question is, can we step back and be okay and find joy in the journey regardless of the circumstances? If we can, then we can be in creation. We can be focused on quality one, mastering the art of connection with other people. We can see their pain. We can step into their world. We can create a safe place for them and bless their life. We can be a partner with a power greater than ourselves in doing that. Oh, that's a wonderful place. It wakes up our divinity. It wakes up our goodness. We begin to know more about ourselves. We begin to be more whole and more complete, more real and genuine and authentic. We can also consciously choose to think creatively. We know five ways we can think creatively. We know three that will just destroy us: catastrophe and fantasy and counterfeit forms of pleasure. Those things that just eat us alive, and we won't go into much detail with that tonight. We've got several other qualities where we'll spend more time on those issues. But we can think constructively. We can mentally rehearse. We can seek inspiration. We can explore. We can plan and goal set and problem solve. And I can tell you without question that when we do this, when we're in the firestorm, we can create peace of mind in spite of the firestorm. And we're going to want to know how to do that, and part of that we'll discuss tonight. And when we get those inspired ideas that ignite our passion that drives our focus and discipline and effort and action, we then take that passion into the here and now, and we begin the tangible creation. Power manifests inspired ideas that ignite our passion. That power now puts people on our path who can serve us and who we can serve, and endows us with more ability, quality number three. So one, mastering the art of connection. Two, mastering our thought processes to think constructively. Three, being present in the now, living in the now, driven by passion. Then four, we discussed last week, discipline and structure, letting go of the need to be right. Finding good in somebody else's idea. And now it's time to move into finding joy in the journey. Now, before we do this, I said last week that it's a very sacred moment to sit down with someone who has been impacted by our thought processes when we need to be right. We've crushed them, most likely. What's it like to be in a relationship with someone when these thought processes that want me to be right take over and I crush you? What's it like? And I invited each one of you to do that exercise, and also to do the exercise of finding good in somebody's idea, because we know their idea and their self-worth are inextricably connected. They are tied so tightly together in 95% of the people that you cannot point out the flaw in their thinking without them feeling less than, crushed. And when we find good in them, we are showing value for them. Their walls come down and compromise can occur. Now, last week I mentioned that I'm going to open up a moment if there's anyone who would like to share their experience of doing one or both of these exercises. I would. I also said that these are very private. I get emails. If there could be tear stains on emails, I'd see the tear stains. You could feel the energy in what they write, what they've discovered. But I do want to open up for a moment the opportunity. If there is someone who shared these exercises, actually did the exercises, and would like to share with all of us what they discovered, I just want to give that opportunity to you. Now, I've got the phone on mute. You'll need to press *6 to come off of mute. And just call my name, David, and I'll acknowledge you. As soon as I do, you know I can hear you. If I'm not acknowledging you, you're still on mute. So just press *6 to come off of mute. I just want to give this window of opportunity for anyone that would like to share what happened when they did one of those exercises. If there's someone who would like to come out, this is your opportunity. We always run a risk when we do this with those who are visiting with us, because we had some wonderful sharing last week. But this is a sensitive piece.
Dave?
Yes?
Can you hear me? It's Lisa Bauer.
I can hear you, Lisa.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. I had the opportunity to do both of those exercises, and the first thing I can tell you is they were very humbling. The first one about the acknowledging other people's ideas, I used that, and it just changed my whole relationship with current relationships. I did it in a recovery setting, and I did it in a professional setting both, and the result was exactly the same. And they kind of looked at me a little different because I think that they're used to me not doing that, and it was really enlightening. It was just really, really enlightening, and it's made me bond with my work group even stronger, so I appreciate that exercise. And then the other one was I sat down with my sister, my baby sister, and I asked her that question about the relationship, and it was an incredibly deep and effective learning experience. She told me some things about what it was like to grow. I'm a recovering person, and so almost another month and it's 20 years sobriety, so there was a lot of wreckage that I had created, and she sat down and told me what it was like to be my sister. And while the process was really, really, really hard to hear, the other side of it is that I have my relationship with my baby sister back, and it was worth every second of it. So I just wanted to tell you that thank you for that. It was quite an experience. And I can't talk anymore because I'll just start crying more.
Well, you need to keep talking because now you got me crying.
She and I had made done my amends with her and had kind of a simple, non-threatening relationship. This gave us a very deep connection again, and that was something that I just didn't ever know was how it was going to happen. And it began. It's not like you flip a switch and it's just all there, but it healed so many things between us. It was huge.
Oh, this is wonderful. And you've just stated everything I could say to you in response, which is it in a way flips a light switch because it puts you in a whole different room, and now the healing begins.
Yeah.
And you know what's required for the healing to continue.
I know what I think, but I'm probably not right. So why don't you tell me what you think?
Oh, it's not right. Next time you're having a conversation with your little sister, she has an idea. What might you want to do?
Oh, of course. I mean, that is a tool. Like I said, that tool has just infiltrated my life. It's just wonderful. Yeah.
Now, I do want to warn you. I've had a few people say, when they've said, you know, what I like best about that idea is this. One person snapped back, don't give me that Dave Blanchard crap. So be prepared if that happens to say, this isn't Dave. This is me really listening.
Okay.
And you can even tell him how hard it is. It's hard for me to listen because I want to fix everything. That's just who I am. But I really want, I'm so excited about finding this good thing in your idea. It's so fun. Just be that lighthearted with it. And bless your heart. There is nothing like healing relationships like that that have been damaged by lots of things. And congratulations on the 20 years coming out. How exciting is that?
Yeah, it's. I was laughing because, thank you, Dave, because I'm not so excited about being 20. I'm just going to be glad when 19 is over.
Well, I know that you're working with one of our coaches, Crystal.
Yes.
We're getting a little echo on the phone, so we're probably going to have you go back on mute if you can, Lisa. Thank you so very much, and congratulations. Isn't that fun? If anybody heard this last week and didn't try the exercise, Lisa, I think you just gave them some courage. What's it been like to be in a relationship all these years with someone who needs to be right, you know, when these thought processes are in control, and then looking for good in someone's idea? It is magical. So take this on. Now, so that we don't rob anyone else of an experience, is there anyone else that wants to share theirs? Just press *6 to come off of mute.
Dave, this is Gwen Peterson. Can you hear me?
Hi, Gwen. How are you?
Good. I think I'm getting feedback from the phone. Wanted to tell you about two interesting experiences that I had. I, of course, went and had the conversation with my husband about how it is to be in a relationship with me when, of course, I'm always right. And it was quite alarming to hear his answer that when I become me in what I call my righteousness, because I always fight to be right, he said, I just shut down and stopped listening to you. And it's amazing how I was able to catch myself throughout the week doing just that, trying to fight to be right. And with a coworker, as she was fighting to be right in an alternate conversation, all of a sudden I just realized that if I try to be right as well, then we both lose. Like you said, it creates a lose-lose and no one wins. And so, you know, I just had to step back and say, I hear what you're saying and I appreciate your input. And it was a really different conversation than I've ever had with her. So I was able to obviously learn from my husband and also with a working relationship. But I love this alternate scenario. Wednesday, I went to my husband's work, not expecting that he would, just not thinking about him doing the same exercise with people he works with. And one of his managers walked up to me and she says, Gwen, is Jason okay? And I'm saying, sure, well, why, what's wrong? She goes, he's not dying or anything, is he? No. Well, you can't believe. He sat me down and asked how it was, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to apologize if he had anything that had made her feel bad. And it was amazing how much it opened up her eyes to the amazing person that I know that he is. But when we all get into our, again, fighting for our righteousness, we lose who the greatness and just fight to be right instead of fight for what makes sense. So that's been my experience this week.
Gwen, I got to tell you the chuckle. I was coaching a woman once who really needed to be right, and so I had her do the exercise. And the next week, she said nobody said anything. And I said, well, walk through and share with me what you said. And she said, what's it like to be in a relationship with someone who is always right? If anybody's listening, not anybody, but those who are listening, the exercise is what's it like to be in a relationship with someone who always thinks they're right? I was just chuckling when you were talking. It brought back memories. And to be in that moment of awareness, that's what these principles are for. Sometimes we catch the awareness after the fact and we're in damage control, but it's better to do that quickly. And then we have those moments when we're aware right in the middle of it and we make a shift. How brilliant is that? Mm-hmm. And then as you're studying the scrolls, you'll go into those conversations aware and create that from the beginning. You captured that one early on, which was magical. For those who are listening tonight, this is what this is all about. At the ground level, in that moment, we call them pivotal moments, because success is nothing more than a series of successfully executed pivotal moments. And Gwen, way to be. You were in a pivotal moment, and you could have kept fighting, but you had a moment of awareness, and you chose to think differently.
Yes.
And we keep doing that, all of us. We just keep doing that. That's what creates success, not some big event. A series of successfully executed pivotal moments, catching ourselves in those moments with greater awareness and thinking differently. Way to be. It's awesome. Now, Gwen, are you sitting in my family room by any chance?
I am now sitting in an alternate room, so I didn't get feedback, but yes, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, how fun. I'll see you after.
Great.
That's wonderful. And Jason, is Jason with us tonight?
Yes, he is.
Can he climb on the phone just for a moment? Would he feel comfortable? You mentioned his experience at work.
Let's see. He's got a big smile on his face. Yes, I'll hand the phone up.
Hi, Dave.
Don't want to put you on the spot. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that conversation?
Other than I didn't know she was still one of my employees, so.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did the exercise and it rippled.
It is. It's a big ripple effect. My employees will, especially myself, that will be down at Larry's Miller next week.
Awesome.
I remember that's coming up. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being so courageous in doing this. And thanks all of the others on the phone tonight who didn't share, who privately were reliving their experience. Way to be courageous. This is a tough one. As we talked about last week, these thought processes are the most difficult to step back from because they've got our body involved. We're releasing that cortisol and those fear dendrites, and we're feeling the need to be right. It's right in the cells of our body. And that's why we battle to the end till somebody dies, you know, because we don't like their selection for the topping on a pizza. These thought processes can't distinguish the seriousness of the event. They just need to be right about everything. And way to be courageous, especially in the moments that were referenced tonight. This is so exciting to see. This is what we live for, is to hear these moments in your lives. Because we know the joy you'll experience in the journey as you take these on. Well, let's turn to our topic for tonight, this joy in the journey. We just discovered that part of the joy in the journey is when we step into another person's world and see the good in their idea and acknowledge it. It feels good. It's a wonderful thing to have happen, because when their walls come down and that cooperation and productivity flood out, on average, 40% in a non-adversarial relationship, that's a lot of cooperation. It could be 50, 60, 70. As Lisa was talking about her little sister and the damage that was done 20 years ago and beyond, there might have been more than 40% being held back. And when that floods out, there is a visceral experience. You feel it. It's a wonderful feeling. When you are in creation in that moment, and you catch yourself in a pivotal moment, and you choose to think differently, there's a tremendous sense of accomplishment. There's an awakening. I love what you said, Gwen, when you said, you know, the righteous self versus the real self. Your real, genuine, and authentic self show up when we catch ourselves in those moments. And it is such a powerful piece. And again, we begin to feel joy in the journey. When we're actually executing on a task, and we've got a goal, and we know why we're headed that way, and we do the next hard thing to get there, we feel a sense of accomplishment. We didn't procrastinate. We feel joy in the journey. Here's the challenge. In today's world, it is very likely that we're going to have moments where things show up differently than we had hoped. Life is not showing up the way that we planned it. And the question is it wrong? Is it wrong to want more out of our life? Because the word gratitude, being grateful, and it's a measurement in your assessment. It's the right-hand side. It's the number two measurement on the right-hand side. It's the first measurement in this quality. Is quite often out of balance. It's not that we're not grateful. It's just there's a lot of pressure on this characteristic. It's hard to feel grateful when so much is not working out the way we'd planned. Now, we know that when we engage in fantasy about what it's going to be like when we're rich and beyond, and then we show up in reality and it's different. All kinds of things are happening in our body that impact the gratitude. But the question is this. Is it wrong to want more out of our life? And the short answer is absolutely not. When we begin to understand intentional creation and live these principles, these pivotal moments, like the one Gwen shared with us, we discover that we awake in the morning. And we talked about power sessions 2 weeks ago. We'll be back to those here in a few more weeks, about how to stay present for like an hour to an hour and a half in total creation, doing a power session. And here we are in this power session, and we start them in the morning. We make the decision which things in the course of the day are really important for us to focus on. It's in this moment in the morning that we add one more element to our power session. And it's a moment of reflecting on what it is we have in our life. Not what is wrong with our relationship, but what is good about it. Not what is wrong with our job, but what is good about it. Not as what was wrong with our life, but what is good about it. Not in relationship to what we would like to have, but in relationship to what it is, and often in relationships to other people's lives. If we truly are in service, seeking to serve people, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I will serve them, one of those constructive ways of using our mind, we are often going to find people who are in far worse straits than us. People who are having experiences for which we would not trade ours. No matter how much we don't like ours, we would not trade ours for theirs. We just wouldn't. So it's in that state that we have this moment of gratitude. We are honoring the giver of our gifts, and we are honoring the gifts. Now, this might take a few moments to get into this space. And then comes intentional creation. Intentional creation is saying, I will take the clay that I've been given, the circumstances which I find myself, and I'm going to take those and I'm going to go into mental creation and seek inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems of how I can take what I have and make it better. Now, if we're not doing this, what are we doing? We're over here discouraged and frustrated, or we're running into the future, fantasizing, escaping to what it'll be like when and then, and we're not doing anything to change the set of circumstances, which means they're not going to change. But when we're in this space, and we're saying to the giver of that gift, inspire me today. I am going to seek to mentally rehearse what I can do. I'm going to explore possibilities. I'm going to seek inspiration, plan, goal set. I'm going to problem solve. And when you give me an inspired idea, I'm going to act on it with full force, holding nothing back. And that's how I'm going to spend my day. I'm going to be in creation, using what I've been given to create the most that I can. Now, it's very likely that no matter how much I create, it'll never quite reach my expectations. That's why we start being very careful about our expectations. We have goals. We have dreams. But we get very clear on the steps between here and there, and we stop living in the future, and we start living in the now, doing the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Because if we're in that space and we're in creation, we can create throughout the day, and at the close of the day, we return and we report the labors of that day. Now, that power knows what we created, but it's wonderful to be accountable for the time we've been given. As Og says in Scroll 5, I will seal up its container of life and not let one drop spill upon the sand. I'll not spend one moment mourning yesterday's defeats and aches of the heart. For why should I throw good after bad? I'm going to be totally present in creation during the day. And at the end of the day, I'm going to express gratitude for what has been created in partnership with that power. If things didn't go the way I went, I'm more likely to go, what things in my life need to be changed for me right now, it's exercise. Cameron was here earlier tonight and gave me a hug and told me I'm starting to look a lot younger. You know, when you drop 28 pounds, that has a tendency to do that. We're now exercising aggressively, eating really well, having a great time, because that's something I truly needed to change in my life to become a better intentional creator. What's yours? Some might be struggling with addiction, pornography, alcohol, drugs. If somebody's struggling there, it's time to do something. If it's important that you read some good books and inspire your mind, then pick one. And tonight before you go to bed, read a chapter. It's time to do something. You'll know. Make an inventory. What is it that I need to change in my life? That's one. We want to start focusing here. Now, be very careful, because next week we're going to go into self-esteem. And some have very fragile self-esteem. You don't want to beat yourself up. You already beat yourself up enough. That's not what this exercise is about. This is just being accountable about very real things that you can take on. And so now we can be accountable. Say, okay. Now next, what expectations am I unwilling to let go of? What am I hanging on to that's keeping me from being grateful for what I got created today and spending my time tonight pondering in preparation for tomorrow morning what it is I want to intentionally create tomorrow to move it even one step closer to my dream? And third, if things don't go well, we'll want to ask ourselves, what lessons are there to learn? Now, Og talks about this in Scroll 10, that I ask for obstacles that other people don't want. Why would we ever ask for an obstacle? And the answer is really simple. Life happens. It just happens. And we can get frustrated when a tire blows or something gets spilled on our blouse or shirt or pants. Life just happens. And we will want to make room for life to happen. We don't want to have expectations so tightly wound that there's no room for error or for life. And we certainly do not want to hold life hostage to our lifestyles. This is something Ramona and I have been talking about this last weekend while we're up at our cabin. What happens if the economy doesn't work out well? What happens? Are we attached to our things? Could we ever let go of our things? Are we going to hold life hostage to our lifestyle? And the answer has to be absolutely no. If we have to work 24 hours a day and not have one thing in life ever show up to somehow meet our current lifestyle, it may be time to shift the lifestyle. It may be time. So as we're exploring gratitude and this measurement of grateful, am I where I thought I would be at this point in my career or my relationship or my life? Do I ever wish it could be better or different? Did I think success would take this long or be this difficult to create? Do I ever want it to be easier, more fulfilling, or more joyful? What expectations have I created that keep me from taking an inventory, being in creation, taking what I've been given and creating the most I can, and at the end of the day, returning and reporting and expressing gratitude for what's been created? What is keeping me? Is the gap between what is and what I want so wide that I just can't see the blessings? I want to emphasize something. There are times when the source of our unhappiness is very real. And there are times when the source of our unhappiness is also dangerous. I want you to know clearly tonight that if you're living in a circumstance where there is abuse, serious emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, it's very important that you seek assistance, because I would never suggest that you be looking for what's wrong with you in that kind of a moment. That's dangerous. That doesn't mean you don't have flaws. It just means it's dangerous. And it's difficult to grow in that kind of an environment. Seek assistance from a pastor or a minister, some ecclesiastical authority, or from a therapist, or the police if necessary. But don't do this alone. You don't need to. As you're working through intentional creation, it's about creating a new life, and there may be some foundational things that need to be addressed by someone in a position of authority so that you can move beyond them. You could be stuck in a situation that's dangerous. If you are, all of these discussions tonight are off. We just want to make sure that you're not threatened or your safety's in danger before we proceed with any more of this discussion. If it's not in danger, a question you could ask yourself tonight is this: is my life really that awful? Or is it only awful when compared against my expectations? Is my life that awful, really? Or is it only awful when compared against my expectations? It may be time to let the expectations go and begin the process of healing. Now, as we're going into this process of healing so that we can find joy in the journey, the next topic that comes up is that we want to focus on this topic of joy and sorrow. I don't know where we got this. I think it came from television. And maybe some pundits who would like you to think that if you just think positively all the time, nothing will ever go wrong in your life. It's just not true. Life, especially when many of the things that are impacting us now are out of our control. I don't know, last time you tried to control the stock market, how did it turn out for you? we can vote in elections, but we've got some massive challenges in our country at many levels. In terms of relationships, you can do all that you can do, but a relationship requires both people doing that. If one person is not interested, it's very hard to have a loving and tender and intimate relationship. There is joy and there is sorrow. I have borrowed liberally from one of my favorite books in this area. It came from the book called The Prophet, Gail Gibran. He writes about sorrow. I'd like to share with you just a couple of things that he says. He says, "Then a woman said, 'Speak to us of joy and sorrow.' And he answered, 'Your joy is your sorrow unmasked.'" Very interesting comment. And he continued, "And the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oft-times filled with your tears." And how else can it be? The deeper the sorrow carves into our being, the more joy we can contain. Think about this. If anybody here has ever been through a financial crisis, only to recover from one, it's part of the joy I've experienced in our life where we lost everything. Spent 10 years paying back $1 million in debt. Brutal. But the joy that came the night I got down on my knees and said, "Thank you, God." And he simply said, "What did you learn?" And it rolled off my tongue. "You open the doors of opportunity, I do the work." Warm feeling rushed over me. Lesson learned. Truly, in that moment, the 10 years of sacrifice was worth the lesson learned. It was worth the feeling that came. There was such joy, it could not be contained. My soul was so filled. But yet, 8 years prior, I was loading a gun and had written several drafts of a note. The $1 million life insurance policy looked like the only solution to support the 7 children. Then the decision not to do it. In that pivotal moment. Then to take it on. And 8 years after that, write out that last $14,000 check and put it in the mail. It's because of those moments that we wrote Intentional Creation. It's because of those moments that I found Ogmandino. It's because of those moments that we've been entrusted with these principles. We have been through that hell. And we know the principles to get out of it. That's why we're here. Hopefully that's why you're here. Because you want to know them. And you look out into the world and you see people in pain and you want them to know them too. And we're going to build a bridge so that our love, our agape love, our awareness of these principles can enter their souls. That's the mission. Well, Gil goes on and says this. Speaking of joy, is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? Is not the lute, I would call it a flute, but the lute that soothes your spirit, that beautiful music, the very wood that was hallowed with knives? When you are joyous, look deep into your heart, and you shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is now giving you joy. Put this to the test. The joy of being out of debt is heightened by the depth of pain experienced when buried in debt. The joy of being with a loved one once lost is part of the reason why I was getting a little tearful, Lisa, when you shared your story. Reflecting on these principles, it's only the joy of being with a loved one lost for years. It's now becoming whole and complete. I'm reflecting on my own brother. We celebrated his 50th birthday yesterday, and 3 weeks ago his first year of sobriety. It's only heightened by the pain of past memories, the destruction and the carnage and the damage. The joy of intimacy, those tender, precious, private moments where you can weep in somebody's arms, they're only heightened by the amount of love and devotion and sacrifice and service and hard work invested in that partnership. The joy of summer is only heightened by the memory of a very long winter. This program, born out of 10 years of down in the trenches, sleeves rolled up, gut-wrenching work, digging out of debt, and 10 more years of development. We're ready. The principles have now been polished. The website's ready. Oh, it's so exciting. Those of you who are going to be affiliates and take this to the world, coaches who are going to coach, many of you are on the phone tonight. We've got such cool coaches. Oh my goodness, I have time to spend with them on Monday and Wednesday and Friday morning. Oh, so many of you are going to be so blessed by spending time with these amazing human beings. Let me continue with Gail's comment. He said, when you are sorrowful, look again in your heart, and you shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight. Some of you say joy is greater than sorrow, and others say, nay, sorrow is greater. But I say unto you, they are inseparable. Together they come, and when one sits alone, it's hard to embrace sorrow when we're in the middle of it. You know, that sucks. And I'm not okay. And in that moment, we began to apply these principles. Looking at somebody else, stepping into their world, using our mind constructively, being present in the now. And within a few minutes, we start to feel whole and complete again, real and genuine and authentic. We begin to awaken. We get to reclaim ourselves. It doesn't change the fact that that over there really sucks. It doesn't change it. We are just now separated from it so that we can do all that we can do to address it. That's the gift of finding joy in the journey. And when we're feeling that sorrow, it sometimes feels like it will always be there. Those 10 years, we wrote and directed 200 television commercials during that time. Wrote the feature film script for the Christ Commission, one of Ogg's books, and four others. It was long and grueling. We were filming one, writing one, editing one, almost simultaneously. Retrospectively, deeply grateful for that much work, because that made it possible to pay off the debt and support the family. It was grueling. There were times we weren't sure we were going to make it. Some of you are there right now. My promise to you is you apply these principles and stay persistent. It's like the bulls in the fight arena. They're tested by that prick to see if they'll charge in spite of the sting of the blade. They are tested for the fight arena. They're not in the fight arena. They're just being tested for it. You are meant for so much more. Prove yourself. Stand strong in your difficulties and in those moments of sorrow. Stand strong. Bear it well. Be in intentional creation, not sucked into the sorrow. And the day will come when you will create in partnership with the power greater than yourself, and you'll feel joy again. I know it happens. That's the promise. If you do not follow these principles and you choose to go into fantasy to escape it, or catastrophe to wallow in it as a victim, those circumstances will not shift. You could be in them for a lifetime. And I'll tell you, 10 years from now will come and I'll still be young. 10 years from now will come for you and you'll still be young. Begin today. Another piece. This one is about a measurement called being practical and persistent. In this particular measurement, we often see it over-focused. In today's world, when we're feeling like, gosh, this is not where I'm supposed to be, things are supposed to be better than this, we're having struggles being grateful, we also start to focus on remuneration. Money is going to be our solution. And everything we do starts to have a dollar sign to it. We sometimes don't provide service because we don't get paid immediately for it. And we fall out of the process of abundance. I've shared this with you before. Abundance is not something that we seek. It's not something that we win. It's a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. We don't want to lose our balance by starting to focus too much on money, because then everything is about the money. And that which we are seeking begins to elude us even more. If this is a challenge, get back into the principles of service. And trust, there's a power that knows your name. And not one thing will be missed in the process. Now, when you go to this material in your tool set, there's another section about handling hard times. Because there are just times when we hang on by our fingernails. Some may be in that space. I've addressed this a little bit. You just don't want to get too frustrated trying to speed up something you cannot speed up. This measurement is effective. When you listen to this one, some of you will recognize this. You know, throw up the first one, catch the fourth one, throw up the third one, catch the fifth one. Oh, why the stress? You're making Superman look like a wimp. We're trying to create in a day that which could take months because we don't believe we have the time. Sometimes we just need to take a deep breath, step back and be still, and know that you are known. That's sometimes going to be the requirement. Lastly, in this particular area, there are three more measurements. I just want to talk about one of them. There's being realistic, which is managing the gap between what we want and what we have. There's being diligent, and that is dealing with stressful situations without blaming other people or complaining or making excuses. Being totally accountable. It's vigilant. We see this one out of balance quite often, vigilant. And vigilant is that I realistically assess the importance and impact of how I spend my time. I invest my energy in doing things that are important and that add value to my life. In just the couple of minutes we've got left, I want you to know that it's less important what you do for a living than it is how you do it. If you are truly focusing on blessing the lives of others, stepping into their world, taking down their walls and serving them, what I like best about your idea is, and watching that transition, we can find more joy in the process of what we do than in what we're actually doing. Conversely, if we choose not to find value in what we're doing, we can hate what we do. Many of us have this belief that we're meant for something so much more, and we just haven't found it yet, and we're reaching and stretching. Because Og says that there's a flame that burns inside me that's been passed down from generations uncounted. There's a constant irritation to my soul to be better than I am, and I will be. Let us not lose sight that the greatest joy comes from serving another human being. Great joy comes when we receive an inspired idea, impression, and solution to a problem that ignites our passion. Great joy comes when we do a task well. We begin to feel whole. Because in the end, again, it's not as important what we do as how we do it. What is our focus? Is it blessing the lives of others or just our own? If you have a job, fall back in love with it by falling in love with the people related to it. Serve them. Find the good in their ideas. Take down their walls. Go to work intentionally creating relationships. Have fun doing this. And if you want to do something else in your business, such as a network marketing business or a direct selling business, or you want to become an advocate of the Og Group, you'll actually have the energy to do it. You won't be worn out at the end of the day. So fall back in love with what you're doing by falling back in love with the people you're serving. That's really the source of joy. Money is a great thing. It's nice to have nice things. But it's not the things that bring the joy. It's the sharing. It's the giving. It's the lifting. It's the building that bring the joy. Well, thank you for being with us tonight, especially those who are here with us as guests. Next week, we're going to take on self-esteem. Your scroll assignment for this week is scroll number 4. I'm nature's greatest miracle. 3 times a day. Listen to those thought processes that avoid structure trying to talk you out of it. And we're going to walk in next week into what are the 3 major causes of challenged self-esteem, what are the objectives, and what are the specific things that you can do to begin to heal your self-esteem. Look forward to being with you next week. Thank you so very much for being with us tonight. And if you have any questions, you can always drop me an email, office@augmandino.com. And we look forward to having you with us next Tuesday evening for our celebration of life at the Larry H. Miller Center. Thanks, everybody, and good night.